Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the weekly Thursday morning edition of Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. I am Sister Amara, joined by my co-host, Chef Zakia Takari, and we're delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. Assalamu alaikum, Zakia, how are you?
Wa alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah, how are
you? Alhamdulillah, new. I hope you're keeping well and warm.
Alhamdulillah, I hope you too.
Yes, it's cold this morning, it's been really bitterly cold. But we keep well and we keep warm as well. And today already is the 1st of June, the 11th of Zilqa'dah. And the most of the Hujjaj have already left. And for those who are already there, may Allah accept all your du'as, grant your Hajj Mabrur and Hajj Maqbool. And for those who are still undertaking the journey, make your journey ahead an easy one, inshallah. Ameen. And do remember us and the Ummah and all the Marhumeen in your du'as. Well, dear listeners, I hope you're all keeping well and warm, those who are in South Africa and those who are listening to us from all around the world. Please give us a shout out. We'd love to hear from you. Where you're listening to us from, 072-786-1548. And what's the weather like on your side of your country? And well, dear listeners, you can certainly look forward to a lovely bumper pack program coming your way this lovely Thursday morning in Johannesburg, in Asia. First up, an interview with Sister Sajida Lahir Mayat. And she here is from the Instagram page Cucina Picanto. And today our topic is how do home industries come up with cooking menus, and then thereafter in the cooking segment with Chef Zakia Takari, we talk about different types of soups, yes, and easy ways to prepare soups from using seasonal produce, adding in variety of flavors. We look at different types of soups like the Chinese, the Thai soups as well, and we also share with you a bit of the health benefits of soups. And then recipe is a butternut soup recipe you can look forward to. A butternut soup recipe that's from our guest, Sister Sajida Lahir Mayat as well. And then today's question I'm asking you is, have you ever tried to prepare some food and just totally ruined it, or how did you save it? You can share that with us, 072-786-1548. Have you ever tried to prepare some food and just totally ruined it, or how did you save it? Please share with us on 072-786-1548. Well, I'd like to welcome our guest online to Sister Sajida Lahir Mayat. Assalamu alaikum, Sajida, how are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Aba Marain, how are you?
Well, I'm well. Are you keeping well and warm this morning?
Alhamdulillah, the sun is shining and there's no wind, so it's a good day.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah for that, yes, sister. Now, Sajida, you have run your own business for a few years now. How long have you been cooking for people in corporates?
So, this year is going to be the 9th year.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And you know, it's easy for us looking in from outside to judge the food industries based on prices. We have this notion that we can do it cheaper. What are some of the factors that you take into consideration when it comes to pricing?
The main factor which it does come to pricing is obviously the cost of your raw materials. Another thing that you have to consider is each ingredient that you are using for the final product. Those things also need to be added into the pricing factor. Your utilities, your gas, your electricity, your water, and then, like you say, if you're load shedding, and then you need to run a generator, you need to use either diesel or petrol for that. That's also cost factors that lead to the pricing of your meals. The packaging, the labeling, delivery costs, all these things play a huge role. You know, yesterday my father-in-law actually went to go and look for vegetables. He went to go and look for potatoes. And the first stop that he made, the vendor there was charging him 150 rand for a bag of potatoes. So he thought, let me drive around and see if I can find something cheaper. And he eventually found it for 90 rand. But, like, you know, if you in a push comes to shove situation and you need to purchase something, you're just generally going to go to the first place, and this is also going to push up your cost factor, you know, a lot. So there's a lot of things that go into the pricing of your meals that you have to consider, the time and the effort that you put into it as well.
Yes, and I suppose, you know, I think choosing your ingredients, from spices to meat, chicken, your fish, your veggies, your packaging, your labeling, I think that takes a lot into consideration, because you want to choose your best. You want to give your customers your the best.
That's absolutely true. And because people need to see your food first before they actually eat it, so it needs to be aesthetically pleasing to them, you need to make sure that you go all out. I mean, the price of microherbs, edible flowers, all these things as well, they really add to the cost factor. Mm-hmm. Of your produce, of your items, G.
Absolutely, yes. And then also, you know, you've got to go to the wholesalers now. For instance, if you go to maybe one of the lovely food markets, you can purchase your veggies from there. But it needs to be also of quality.
That's the thing. So at the moment, with the load shedding, you can't also buy in bulk. Mm-hmm. You need to consider the shelf life of the item that you're buying, whether you have the facilities to store it at the correct room temperatures or cold temperatures or hot temperatures. So these things also lead, you know, then it's the cost factor of running up and down to the markets, sourcing out the products. We were doing a price comparison yesterday with one of my clients where they pay 44 in a kilo for a chicken as compared to us that buy farm fresh chickens, which are around about 75 to 80 rand a kilo.
Sure.
You see? So, I mean, it's almost double. That's the thing. But, and like, you need to store your food properly because you don't want to be, have a case of food poisoning and things like that, because in alone will be detrimental to your business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, spices, fine. And I'm glad you can still keep your spices off the shelf. It's fine. But working with meat, chicken or fish, that's also a challenge with the load shedding. Also, maybe now with winter now, it's not too bad, but still you need to keep it at a certain room temperature, especially fish and chicken and meat. Minced things, chicken goes off quickly, fish goes off quickly as well. And then, okay, veggies and things like that, your vegetables can last you quite a while because it doesn't have to be in a very warm place. It can be in a cold place as well. And even if you leave it out, it's fine because it's winter, it's quite cold. Mm-hmm.
That's true. You save a lot on that. With the winter months, that's a great help. But also, when you're buying it from the stores and if you cutting it and seal it in airtight containers, it saves you on your preparation time as well, and it does last you a bit longer.
Yes. And then, Sajida, should home industry cooks be charging for their time as well? And why do you say so?
Okay, a perfect scenario here to describe is if you have a problem with your fridge, you're going to call out a technician. Mm-hmm. That technician's going to charge you a call-out fee, a parts fee, and then a labor fee. So you that are providing a service must also charge a labor fee.
Yes.
Because it's nice to work in your labor fee into the costing of your item, so that way people don't feel that you are charging over and above.
Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you've got pricing. Maybe like an inverter, a generator, you're going to need to fill the generator either up with diesel. The inverters don't come cheap. The batteries don't come cheap at all. So you need to put all that in, you know. And yes, I think you just need to work around that. Especially now when it comes, if you're providing a delivery service as well. What about the petrol charges as well?
That is correct, the wear and tear, and then also the time now for deliveries has almost doubled because you don't know the area that you are going to, if they are going through load shedding or not. So that's another factor that you have to also work in, that it's double the time, sometimes even triple the delivery time that your deliveries are going out. Then you have to try and send it out either earlier so that they can get their meals before lunch or for supper. It's really challenging.
I think you need to work around things around load shedding. There's a lot of things that small factors you need to work around, you know. And inshallah, as you work around it, you know, you will come across different challenges. And I suppose, you know, when that bridge comes, you cross that bridge when you come to it, you know. Then again, Sajida, looking at many of the industry menus, and with you as well, when it comes to meals, be it for daily needs or corporates, how do you formulate your menu? And do you change with the seasons?
Okay, so a lot of research goes into menu planning. You need to see the trends that are on at the moment. Although there are a lot of clients that do prefer the old-fashioned foods, there are also a lot of people that want to try out new recipes, new cuisines, and things like that. So when I'm doing menu planning, I like to put in something old, something new. And then, as you say, as the seasons go by, so in the summertime, it's a lot of fresh salads, meat salads based with proteins, you you know, things like that that are filling as well. And winter times, a lot of soups, hearty, wholesome meals, stews, curries, a lot of those things in the winter season.
So what's in winter season? You have to have more added extra veggies, extra meat, extra chicken, extra fish. It's like double the amount of that because winter is a whole different type of a menu.
That is very true. But if you add in dumpling, you know, you're already feeling so good because that just gives it that extra touch to it. I have a few non-meat eaters, so when it comes to menu planning, also I have to make sure that there's something always vegetarian on the menu. When I add in bacteria and mutias to the vegetarian dishes, that also helps in filling your tummies and keeping you warm through the season.
Yes, and not forgetting the rotis and the puris as well.
That's the most important.
Yes. And then, Sajida, you know, with your home industry, do you have helpers?
The bulk of the work I do myself. Mm-hmm. When I have a lot of orders that are quite, demanding, and then I rope in the kids and hubby to help me out, Chi.
Okay. And also, Sajda, you do wear many hats, including being a mum. How do you find a balance between work and everything else? What's a typical day like for you, Sajda?
Okay, so at the moment, my day starts really early because I'm doing breakfast orders at the moment. So those need to be done and packed and delivered by about 6 o'clock in the morning. I need to then be back on time to do kids' lunches and have a breakfast with them or just a cup of tea with them. Luckily, they are off air. Where they can sort themselves out for most of the things, so that's good. As soon as they leave for school, then busy doing lunch orders. I only do see them after my dresser, so at least I have a lot of time during the day to work on my schedule. So by the time they come home, supper is a must that we have families a meal where we all catch up with each other, each one of us. Gives a breakdown of their day, what happened, the highs and lows of their day. And then I also like to communicate with them about what special events they have in mm-hmm, the week or mm-hmm. if they need any work for their assignments and that. And they would do the same, like, Mom, what's your day like or what's your week like? Can we help you? So when they are free, then yes, I do get them to come and help me because I feel it's me spending some quality time with them as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you send out a menu on your weekly social media page?
I have a WhatsApp broadcast list that I send my menu out weekly. I put it out either on a Saturday or a Sunday, and then clients order from there. Over in the I do have space, and if any space assist customers. What I also do is those clients that are away from me, mm-hmm. I prepare like about 4 or 5 meals for them, and then I just deliver on one day. So for them, it's a refrigerate, heat, and eat. So it makes it easier for them, especially if they work in class, or sometimes if they live alone, it's so much easier for them just to get a meal that's sorted instead of them sourcing out ingredients and then, you know, cooking and all those things. So yeah, that's been, alhamdulillah, going quite well.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Well, Sajda, today we're talking about soups. I think you're going to share with us a lovely butternut soup recipe. So please go ahead and share with us that lovely recipe. And I'm sure most of the listeners are looking forward to it.
Okay, the recipe I'm sharing with you is actually an adaptation of a recipe that was in the Sunday Times. The original recipe is that of Angela D. Mm-hmm. But I've just adapted it to the Indian palate. So what you'd need is 125 grams of chicken cooked with salt and green masala. Once that is done, you can leave aside. You can then chop up an onion, one butternut that's peeled and chopped, a potato that's peeled and chopped. Well, braise your onion in about 2 tablespoons of butter for a few minutes. Add in your butternut and potato. Make sure that the butternut and potato is well coated with the onion and the butter mixture. Allow that to cook for a while. As it's cooking, you can add in 2 tablespoons of flour and allow that to continue to cook for about 3 to 5 minutes. Once that is done, you add in a teaspoon of nutmeg, a teaspoon of black pepper, a teaspoon of paprika, and the rind of a large orange. The orange rind really adds the flavor to the soup. It just takes it to another level.
very different recipe, but I see you've got a can of coconut milk in there as well.
That's right. So once your potatoes and your butternut are softened, then you need to blend it until it's nice and smooth. You want a very smooth consistency, right? Then you return it to your pot. You can add in a can of coconut milk. Once it has given a nice boil, you add in your chicken, and then you adjust the seasoning. If you need to spice it up a little bit more, you can add in some green masala, or even black pepper really does give it a nice kick.
Lovely, absolutely lovely. Sajida, Jazakallah khair for joining us on today's Household Express program on Radio Islam. And Jazakallah so much for taking some time out to share with us your home industry, how you actually go about making a menu, the challenges you face. And may Allah grant you lots and lots of barakah in your home industry as well, Sajida.
Ameen, Jazakallah always for the invitation to be on the show. It's always a great pleasure.
And indeed a pleasure to have you. Inshallah, we're going to get you back soon on the program. Sajida, please, before you love and leave us, please share with the listeners your Instagram account.
So it's Cucina Picante. Inshallah, if I get a chance, I will try and type out the recipe and load it on the story. So if anybody wants to have a look at the recipe from there, inshallah, they'll be able to access it from there.
Jazakallah so much, Sajida. You have a lovely warm winter day. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Well, it was Sister Sajida Lahir Maya. You can follow her Instagram at Cucina Picante. And I'm going to spell it for you. It's C-U-C-I-N-A Picante P-I-C-C-A-N. T-E. It's Cucina Picante. And indeed, a lovely recipe, a butternut soup recipe from Sister Sajida Lahir Mayed. We will be reading out that recipe again later on in the program if you didn't get it. It's also on our website. Go to radioislam.co.za. If you don't have access to the internet, call Sister Faiza on 011-854-7022. Well, Zakia, a lovely interview with Sister Sajida. Lots to learn about with the home industries as well, and you also just starting up your own home industry, your cooking setting. You can actually get lots of tips from her as well.
Alhamdulillah, she shared very valuable tips to Zakallah to her. Inshallah, yeah, we all have to make some effort.
Yes.
And I think, yes, females, you know, Muslim females, and especially if you're in the chefing industry and stuff, it's very difficult because of our family responsibilities. So one of our best options are to just go the home industry route.
And I think sourcing your ingredients, your spices, but I think the challenge we find in today's time is the load shedding. And then prices of the chickens, your meat, your fish, the storing, you know.
For me, that is one of my greatest challenges, be it irrespective of be it for home industry or personal use, because if you buy even for a week, how many times a day our electricity goes on and off?
Yes.
And I know a lot of people say your chest freezers, your chest freezers are better. But what about the people who don't have chest freezers?
Yes.
So it is a great inconvenience. And not only when it comes to your fish and your meats and your poultry, but also with your vegetables and your herbs. You know, like I was speaking to one of my neighbors the other day, and she's telling me because of the load shedding, her dhania is actually turning black in the freezer, which normally doesn't happen because the lights go on and off. And she doesn't have it in a chest freezer. She has it in your normal fridge freezer.
And that goes soft very quickly.
And therefore, like, her herbs have even been wasted. But Allah make it easy for one and all. These are the challenges that we have to face, and it's our test for which we'll also be rewarded, inshallah.
Ameen, absolutely. Okay, let's go for a short break. When we come back, we're talking about soups. But today's question before we go for a break, have you ever tried to prepare some food and just totally ruined it? And or how did you save it? Share with us on 072-786-1548. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Welcome back, Zakia.
Jazakallah.
Well, before we go on to talking about the different types of soup, we've asked him the question today is, have you ever tried to prepare some food and just totally ruined it? Or how did you save it? Share with us. And we're also taking any of your baking or cooking questions or concerns, 072-786-1548. Well, Zakia, tell us about soups. You know, what are the basis of making a good soup?
So, basically, there's so many different varieties and different options of soup that, you know, when you say soup, a person will think, okay, but it's just something that you drink. It's not filling. It's just to keep you warm, etc., which is actually not the case. A soup is basically a liquid, mostly of savory flavor. I don't think anyone's actually made a sweet soup, although butternut has a sweetness that's added to it. But it's not a sweet soup, it still has a savory flavor. And it's basically by mostly boiling your vegetables, your meat, your fish, your poultry into a stock or water. So soups are of three types. A pass soup, an unpass soup, and a cold soup. When we say a pass soup means, you know, it's your soups that we used to. It's your soups with a liquid. It has your chickens, your vegetables, your pastas, your lentils added to it. Whereas that's an unpass soup. And a pass soup is where you have all this as well, but then you don't have stuff like pasta added to it because you have your vegetables and your meat, which you make in a foundation of, and then you passing it through, through blitzing or straining, or, you know, and it becomes a bouillon, which means a clear liquid. And basically, it's your very thin, watery, clear soups that you just drink, and there's no texture to it apart from like liquid. Then you get a cold soup, which is mostly your summer soups, which are very refreshing and light, and you know, it's cooling and stuff like that. Basically, soups break down into three. It's your body, it's your garnish, and it's your foundation. Your foundation is the most important because that's what's building your soup. Mm-hmm. It's giving it its flavors, it's mm-hmm. giving it its everything. And then obviously your body is your spices and your herbs, your poultries, your meats, your vegetables, your lentils, etc. And your garnish is your fresh cream or your creme fraiche or your croutons or your breadsticks, etc. So we said, how do we build a flavorful soup? So especially now in winter, I find very nice to do is make, if you know you enjoy soups, it doesn't have to be a mutton stock, it doesn't have to be a chicken stock or vegetable stock, it can be entirely up to you. Take a nice big heavy bottom pot, mm-hmm. add it with cold water, add in your mirepoix, what our chef Amara Peterson spoke about last week, which is your celery leaves, your celery, leeks, carrots, onions. Then you can add in your turnips. You can add in stuff like that, your winter vegetables, your soup vegetables. Add in black peppercorns. Add in cloves. Add in, if you want to keep it veg, you can add in your spices, bay leaves. And what's very nice and what's very helpful in this winter month is to add in date vinegar.
Date vinegar. Why would you say date vinegar?
Because date vinegar helps extract the nutrients and the minerals okay. from your produce.
Mm-hmm.
So, and on a very low heat, you put in cold water, and you on a very low heat, you're allowing it to just simmer, and you're making a stock. And once it like simmers for like 6 to 8 hours, you can then take it and you can strain out all your vegetables, because after that amount of time of boiling, it becomes very mushy and not very yummy on the palate, I'd say.
Okay,
right.
Okay.
So then you keep that liquid and you can use it to make your other soups. Remember, you put in black peppercorns, you put in cloves, you put in bay leaves, you put in cinnamon sticks. All these things are in the date vinegar. It's all hearty, warming stuff. So it helps keep the body warm from the inside also, which is a benefit to us in this weather.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, you can add in bones of a chicken to that same compound and boil that, and you have a base for chicken soup. You can do the same with mutton. You can do the same with beef bones, right? And then all you do is, so that's your foundation. Plus, it's a very nutritional foundation. Then from there you can add in, and you can make, you can then obviously braise your onions, you can add in your carrots, your potatoes, whatever other vegetables you like, with your chicken or your mutton or whatever it is, or lentils, etc., and your packet soups to now build the flavors on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the most important foundation was you build in a nice, healthy, hearty, warm, beneficial foundation, which just consists of very cheap vegetables, some spices and water. The only expensive ingredient is date vinegar, and if you don't, if it's not something in your budget, or it's not something you have or want to now go and invest in, you don't have to. It's still a beneficial foundation to your soup.
You know, a lot of sisters out there want to make a bowl of soup. It's winter, we all love soup. Whether you're making whatever meal you're making, but the bowl of soup has to be there. And indeed, it's very nourishing. And I mean, a bowl of soup alone is a meal on its own. And it's, you don't have to always go to a recipe for a bowl of soup.
No.
No. What you can do is, you can try different variations of soup. You can create your own soup recipe. What I normally do is, I take in a bowl of water, I mean, a nice pot of water, I take about a potato, cut it up, cube it up, a tomato, a green pepper, a carrot, in there put a green chili, some green dhania, and then give it a good boil. Till it's about nice and soft, and then you just give it a blitz, and take another pot, you place some onions, you put your cloves, your peppercorns, a bit of ginger garlic, and a whole juru if you want, and then take your braise a bit of cubed chicken with your green masala, and then that soup mixture that you actually give it a good blend, you throw that in there, and you take your knorr mixed vegetable soup, so your white onion soup, your mushroom soup, your chicken noodle soup, and you add that in. If you want, you can create your own Chinese soup, throw in a bit of noodles. And I noticed the whole soups are actually very, it's trending a lot, the Thai soups, the Chinese soups. When you're actually eating the noodles, you're actually eating the vegetables, like, it's made, but it's like whole.
Yes. And apart from that, I know, like you said, no matter what meal you have, but it's nice to have that bowl of soup there. Many homes must have that bowl of soup there. But sometimes you don't even have to have that meal.
Yes.
Because you can pile up your soup so well, you can add in... you can buy, say you have a tin of butter beans in the cupboard in brine, you can rinse them out, add them to your soup, your poultry or your meat, then your vegetables plus some pasta, you know. By the time you're done and you can have that with some rolls, etc., it's very filling. It's hearty, it's warm. It warms you up also from the inside. And on top of that, it's full of nutritional value.
Okay. Yes, and there's another way of making soup. You know, if you want like a Chinese type of soup, you can create your own. Even if you take your cubed chicken with your green masala and your peppercorns, you braise your onions well, cook your cubed chicken, then in there you can take a potato, you can take a carrot, you can grate it, and then braise all that together, put a bit of water in there, and it's, you can actually taste the carrot, taste the, everything is like whole in there. It's so tasty.
It is, and if you don't have packet soup also, that's not a problem. All you need to do is just add maybe a tablespoon of Maizena to your soup mix, you know, to thicken the water liquid up. And that's basically what the restaurants are doing. They're not adding in our knorr packets of soup in their Thai soups and in the chicken corn soups, etc. They're using Maizena, which is your corn flour, and then they're using your normal spices. And remember, a very flavorful spice that we have in our pantry, most of our, 99% I'm sure have, is your separate dhana and your separate chiru.
Yes.
It works wonders with salt, arid, green masala. If you don't have green masala, chop up your green chilies, add in fresh garlic, add in some slices of fresh ginger. It's a whole ball game changer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you know, if you look at the health benefits of soup, it gives your whole immune system a good boost. It actually helps you with your cold and your flu. You can make a nice pot of ginger soup. It soothes the digestive system. It's healing after an illness. For the elderly, you can give them soups as well. Even you get the old confinement soup, woman just given birth, can have their soup, the lovely ginger soup, the confinement soup. There's different methods of making a soup. You can create your own recipe, create your own soups. You know, try it out. Go on to, like, you find this TikTok videos, go on to different bloggers, and just check all the lovely recipes they're actually making with these soups as well.
So, like you're saying, you know, for the elderly, and you can use confinement soup, etc. as well. So, this recipe that I'm giving, like, you know, the peppercorns and the cloves and the date vinegar and the bones of the chicken or the beef or the mutton, you know, we also we have this new, it's not a new trend, but we're also conscious about it. We need to take collagen for this and collagen for that, yes, and collagen for everything. So by adding the date vinegar to this mixture, when you add in bones, you are also withdrawing the collagen properties from the bones, which aids in natural collagen into your system.
You know, many months ago, maybe a year, maybe 2 years ago, when I used to interview Sister Zaida Muhammad from Kumachipur, she used to actually make her own bone broth. Put the bones on a very low heat, and you actually use that, freeze it up, and you put that into your soup.
So basically, yeah, a bone broth, and what I'm saying is the same thing.
The same thing.
Bone broth, just another name for it. And besides that, I don't know if I'm going to be lashed for this, but you can also, like you say, you freeze that, and you can use that in your curries instead of adding water.
Yes.
It adds flavor.
It's like a stock.
Yes.
It's a stock.
Mm-hmm. So it adds flavor. Instead of you adding 1 cup of water, you add in maybe 2 ice cubes of this worth half a cup of water.
And remember, you're not buying it, you're making it yourself.
Yes.
It's more healthy.
And besides it being healthy, it's also, you know, it has so many health benefits.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it also adds a lot more flavor to the food.
Okay. Okay, this listener is looking for a tasty hot and sour soup like one, like the one the Pakistani restaurant sells.
I don't have one offhand.
It's a, I think it's more like a Chinese type of a soup. It's a strong soup. It's a hot and sour soup.
So it's basically your Mazina foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you notice, their soups don't have onion in it.
No.
So it's your water Mazina foundation with your chili powder and some vinegar, and then your chicken cooked with your spices and your red coloring tossed in it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically those are your key ingredients, because you can taste the vinegar in the hot and sour soup. And then obviously the chili powder you can see.
And then they put in slices of green chili.
Yes.
That's really lovely, you know. Then the listener says, did you say add date vinegar to the soups? Yes, sister. We did say add date vinegar to the soup. And then, okay, off the topic of soups, a very good question. The sister says, how can I bake flat top cakes that are used for stacking? She says her cakes always dome.
So your cake's doming because you're overfilling it. So you need to fill it 3/4 way to the top. Hit out your air. Don't allow your cake to stand too long. Not all cake batters can sit out and then go into the oven. That could cause it to dome. So try and work around your load shedding schedules properly. Fill it 3/4 way, tap out your air nicely, and then once it cools, I haven't tried this myself, but I one of my lecturers was sent it to me, where instead of you keeping your cake with, you know, like you take the cake tin out of the oven and you put it on a cooling rack to cool down before you turn it out. Turn the cake upside down with the cake side facing the rack. You're not emptying the cake out of the tin. You allow it to cool that way.
Okay.
In that way, they say that gravity allows the cake to stay nice and light and fluffy. And also over greasing causes these things. And a lot of the listeners asked a few weeks ago also, why is the cupcake pulling away from the cupcake liner and stuff? It's all because of over greasing. Cupcake liners, cake tins, etc. Don't over grease and don't overfill. So your dome is because you're overfilling it. Try and fill it only 3/4 way of the pan so that it has space to expand and level out straight. That's one. And two is don't let your batter sit on your counter for too long.
Okay. Then, A question for the chef. When making stocks, is it better to slow cook or would it be okay to make it in a pressure cooker to save time and electricity?
You cannot pressure cook a stock. A stock is a stock because of it being made with cold water on slow simmering level for a certain amount of time. A vegetable stock can go for 45 minutes. A chicken stock can go, I think, for 2 to 3 hours. Beef stock goes for 8 hours. So mutton stock as well will go for plus minus 6 to 8 hours. And the key about stocks is it needs to simmer on a very low heat. There must be no boil and it must be cold water. And once your stock's in your pot, don't stir the pot. Only skim the fats and the oils off on the top. So basically that is...
Okay. And then I think a perfect time we'll be making stocks now is when you have Bakri Eid with the bones. Perfect, because you're going to be doing your kurbani, right. You're going to be slicing your meat. So you can just take away your meat from there and then use up your bones. And what a perfect day to make a stock. It's your beef stock, your lamb stock from your bones of your sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then, okay, let's go to another question. This one says, when making veg stock, do you drain the veg and keep the water? What to do with veg that remains? Good question.
So remember, all your stocks you're draining. All your stocks consist of onions, carrots, celery, and leek. Your carrots being the most. Your onion, so it would be to one portion carrots, you'd have half a portion onions, and then a quarter portion leeks and a quarter portion celery, right? And then you'd have obviously your bones. And because it's simmering for such a long period of time, there's nothing that you can really do with your vegetables from a stock.
Then, you know, now it's winter time, you're going to go to a supermarket, to your veg store, you're going to find the packets of soup mix, okay? How would you go about making a nice pot of soup? What would you use from there? What does a packet of soup mix basically include?
So basically your soup mixes includes dehydrated vegetables, a thickening agent, flavoring agents, and seasoning.
What about the fresh soup mixes, the fresh veggies that you get? You get turnips, you get parsley, you get leeks, you get carrot in there.
So you can take all those ingredients, chop it up nicely, make a nice onion vagar, add those in, saute that nicely so it can caramelize. Then you can deglaze it with some stock or some water. And then you can, in a separate pot, cook some chicken fillets, or before you... If you have to put your vegetables in before your chicken, because your chicken cooks faster than your vegetables. Turnips are hard vegetable,
yes.
Carrots are hard vegetable. We obviously add in the ingredients into the pot from the most toughest toughest vegetable to the softest vegetables for cooking time, to allow all the vegetables to have the same consistency in chew. Else, if you add in everything in your leeks and your celery, is going to be so mushy, and your carrots are going to be so hard, it's not very enjoyable. So you're going to do that in a separate pot. You can cook some chicken with some of your spices that you like. You can just add in what. So I really enjoy a very simple. I take the soup packs, which consist of your carrots, your turnips, your onions, your leeks, your celery. You can grate in some potato. You make an onion vagar separately. You take cube chicken, oil, salt, arad, green masala, and fresh garlic. Just cook that together. Toss it into your vegetables. You can add in some vermicelli, or you can add in some noodles. Then you can, and then all I do is I add in water, and I add in a thick vegetable soup, cream of mushroom soup, a thick onion.
Yes.
So it's a 3 packets together, and then you make that. So remember, one packet of knoll makes 850 mils of liquid.
Yes, you can
put
it up.
You're getting almost 2.5 liters mm-hmm. of liquid, so you add in that in. And then I still find that very thick, so I add in still on top of that a liter of cream. And yes, it's a very hearty, wholesome soup.
I love
and it's
using
easy
the
with all the veg.
Soup mixes, especially the thick white onion, the mushroom soup, the creamy veg. It gives you, even if you take a little bit of each one, half a bit of each one, and you mix it with a bit of water and milk together, and then add it to your soup. You can create your own soups, you know. Coming back to the topic on cupcakes, the listener says, I read a hack for flat top cakes. You can take an old towel and cut strips to fit around your pans and secure with a big safety pin. Wet these, squeeze out the excess water and wrap around your pans during baking. Your cakes will rise but stay flat on top. I tried it and it worked.
Yes, the trend was trending, I think, 2 to 3 years ago. They were even selling those strips that you could buy. And then you just wet them and you tie them around your cake pans and stuff. I just find it too much effort.
Oh, okay. Yes, it's too much of effort, but it's worth a try. This one says, Zagra for the lovely program. How long does date vinegar last? I purchased a bottle a while ago but never opened. It will also work with minestrone soup. How do I use it, Zagra?
I'm sure there's an expiration date on it, but you could obviously see from the bottle maybe the colors changed a lot. Is you know the how does it look, etc. If there's no expiration date on it, you know, vinegar is an acid, it's an antibacterial, stuff like that, so it could also last long. Even if it's over a year, it's not a train smash. Expiration dates are there as a guide. It doesn't mean necessarily that something is not allowed to be consumed. You can add it, yes, to your minestrone soup. So to 5 liters, I normally add to any of my stocks or soups or whatever, a batch of 5 liters, I add 3 tablespoons of date vinegar to.
Okay. The sister says she needs some advice. Going for 12 days road trip to Botswana. Food ideas and how to store. I have 3 braais on list only. Looking for easy filling snack meals and main meals and rice dish. How do I store? Jazakala Khair.
So the easiest way would be your vacuum pack your cooked meals. And then also into your foil containers or your Tupperwares, and then freeze it into cooler boxes with hot ice and cold packs. You can do your normal curries. Your rice, unfortunately, is not going to freeze so nicely. So maybe take rice worth where you can cook it, maybe take a single pot worth. Your foil containers you can also then heat up on your single gas stove or on your braai stand, you know. Stuff like that. You can make your saucy chickens, cook it. Once it's cooked, you can put it into your vacuum seal bags, backpack it, freeze it, label it nicely. Stuff like that.
Okay. Then a listener says, she actually gave, okay, coming back to cake, she says, make your cake slightly hollow in the center for an even cake.
Never tried that before.
Okay. Then the listener actually sent in a Chinese soup recipe. So inshallah, we will put it onto the website. It's actually a bit of a lengthy recipe, but nevertheless looks like a very tasty one as well. And then, okay, let's go back to our WhatsApp messages. Okay, I will reply to that sister, inshallah, in next week's program. Okay, this one is looking for a minestrone soup recipe. How would you make a minestrone soup?
So you do get the minestrone mixes in Woolworths, in Pick and Pay. They come with your vegetables.
You even get the minestrone ones, yes.
So this is just a pack with all your vegetables and your lentils.
All right.
Right, so you can buy that, and then you can make a nice onion vinaigrette, toss that in, salt, pepper, and then you can add in the minestrone knorr packet to that, and it really comes out very nice. And you can add in also some boiled noodles to that.
Okay, then the sister says, I substitute dodi for butternut, add dhania chutney, a lovely green color. That's nice.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. A butternut soup is actually very, very tasty indeed, very nourishing. This says, who asked about a road trip, can we freeze potato curries?
Yes, we can.
You can freeze. And listeners, you can also freeze your soups.
Yes, you can.
You can freeze your soups. Yes. And also, if you don't want to have soup, you can make a lovely haleem just using jungle oats. Halim is also very nourishing as well. Mm. And you can make your halims with your lentils as well, whichever lentils you prefer. And you can make your soup mix, you get your 4-in-1 soup mix as well. You can use that as well. So it's how creative you want to be in the kitchen, how you want to prepare soup as well. And go out there, you know, just you take your veggies. You can just make a normal potato and onion soup. Take a potato, take an onion, take a green chili, take some green danya, boil it up, mash it up, and then blend it, and you can add your green, your cooked cubed of chicken with your green masala, add in your thick vegetable, your chicken and mushroom, your white onion soup. You can take a half the cut of each, mixed up with water, with milk, and add that in. Remember, when you're making soup, keep stirring your soup. Especially if you're adding your soup mixes to it, because it can
catch,
yes. And then your coconut milk, coconut cream, that just takes the soup to another level.
And gives it that Thai flavor.
A Thai flavor, absolutely, yes. Well, we've come to a lovely informative program, to talk to our producer, Mumtaz, to you, Zakia, and our engineer, to all of you lovely listeners, for always sending in those lovely messages, kind messages into us, and for all your questions. And then you can also learn from answering that as well. Well, inshallah, back with you next week, inshallah, with Allah wills, with another lovely program, another lovely topic, and a lovely guest as well. From me, Zakia Namara. Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.